I believe God has something for every one of us.
Amen. Thank you.
You know, we never get tired of the Word of God because it's our staple diet. You know, I don't know what your staple diet is. If you eat bread every day, you don't get tired of it. Tomorrow you eat bread again. And you go on and on and on, because that's how we live. That's our staple diet. And this is our spiritual staple diet. And we learn so much so that we can be strong in our personal lives. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to talk a little bit this morning about something that has been speculated about since the Apostle Paul lived, and that is the thorn in his flesh. If we could ask him this morning what that thorn was, I know what he will say.
Yes.
It's none of your business. It's none of your business. Because he doesn't want us to understand what the thorn is. He wants us to understand what the grace of God is. He's not trying to hide from us the thorn in his flesh. He's trying to reveal to us the grace of God. And so we begin to read here in chapter 11. We find the Apostle Paul really defending himself, because after he went to Corinth and started the church there, some other people came and preached there and confused them. Hebrew people, Jewish people came and confused these Gentiles about the law. Now, we know that the law was never given to the Gentiles. It was given to the Jews. We're Gentiles, right? We don't have any business with the law. We're Gentiles. The law was given to the Jewish people. And so they came and confused the people, and they were eloquent speakers. They were eloquent speakers. We find the Apostle Paul just defending himself. He says there in chapter 10, just a few verses back, and verse 10 he says, "For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." He was not as eloquent and polished as these other people. And so these Corinthians people, they liked him. I liked those people because they were so charismatic and they were so eloquent. And people paid more attention to their eloquence than the truth that they were speaking. And so now we find Apostle Paul trying to rectify this thing. And he's talking about his own ministry. Now, we're not preaching the Apostle Paul. We're preaching Jesus Christ. But we see him working in the life of Paul and learn from what we can see there. Because the way Jesus helped him, he will help you. The way he strengthened him, he will strengthen you also. When you go through struggles, and you'll see some things that the Apostle Paul struggled with, I wonder how many honest people we have here this morning. How many of you are struggling with something? Good. If you don't have struggles, then Pastor John says you're dead. But I think that you're not a threat to the devil. The more of a threat you are to the devil, the more trouble you will have. So if you have all kinds of trouble, I think you're probably doing something right. So now let's go to verse 22, chapter 11, verse 22. He's talking about these other guys now. He says, "Are they Hebrews, Jewish people? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more." Now he begins. Now I want you to check his life and see if what you are going through can compare to what he went through. Maybe after you read this, you won't feel so defeated, you won't feel so left out by God. It says, in labors more abundant, he worked very hard. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. So what they did is they sentence you to 40 stripes, but they give you 39. So 5 times, that's 200. Less 5 is 195 lashes. I wonder what his body looked like after 200 lashes by the Romans. I know a lot of Christians that will give up for less than that. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Now, you know, he was stoned and left for dead. I believe he did die. And we'll touch on that just a little further down. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Now, if you go through that, maybe you think, well, I don't think God called me. Where's God in all of this? Why doesn't God help me? In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I'm not weak. I look at this man and I say, you know, I've seen in the book of Acts the power that worked through this man. And yet he says, I'm weak. What you see on the outside is not always what you have on the inside. What you see is not what you get. Verse 30, 29 still. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? How many of you have stumbled since you received Christ? There's a lot of people that are not quite honest here. Verse 30, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Quite an adventurous life that this man had. Not easy. Not easy. I've always said, and I know it's not popular, but I still have to say that, the curse on a North American church is our comfort. We become lazy. And that's why churches are weak. Because these things make you strong. You have to hold on to God. Now, we don't pray for these things. The devil will take care of that. You don't have to ask for anything. He will do that without you asking. Now, chapter 12. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. You know, all through this, that this man had to deal with, the revelations that he received, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Through all of that. Which tells you where his focus was. Not so much on what he suffered and what he went through and the unfairness of it. Most of what people did to him was unfair. He didn't deserve any of that. Just the unfairness of it. His focus was on receiving revelation upon revelation upon revelation that we still learn from today. It's still impacting the church today, 2,000 years later. No wonder the devil worked on him so hard. He tried to destroy him. He didn't want those revelations to come to us because he knew the church, if the church could get a hold of these revelations of truth, of what Jesus accomplished for us at the cross, he will never be able to annihilate the church. And indeed Jesus said, I will build my church on this rock. And that's not Peter the rock. It's the revelation that he's the Christ. Yeah. It says, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Amen. Just today, with all that we're going through, is still stronger and bigger than it ever was around the globe. I always feel that when we are in the church, we're in probably the safest place. Empires moved against the church. It had enemies inside and outside all the time. And it's still there. It's still there. It's the safest place. As a matter of fact, I think it's the only thing today that has a future. Amen. We see big banks fail that have been around for hundreds of years. We see governments fail. But the church will never fail. We are in a secure place when we are in the church. We're taken up in the church. So let's read on from chapter 1 again. It's doubtless not profitable for me to boast. 12 verse 1. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Let me tell you, he's talking about himself. Although he says, I'm not talking about myself, he's talking about himself. But he doesn't want to boast. He's talking about himself. I believe when they stoned him and left him for dead, that's when this happened. Verse 3. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain. Lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me, or to be or hears from me. Now, here comes the change in the story now. You look at this man that we still respect, and I believe had respect of every Christian through the ages, the Apostle Paul. How could he do this? How could he live a life like that? And with all those problems and persecutions and troubles and dangers, still delivered to us the magnificent truth that we haven't gone much deep into the truth yet. You know, when I read the Bible, I see there are deep things here that the church never really bothered to discover. There are some hidden gems here that will lift you up and put you in a place. If you could hold on to it and make it your own, that will change everything around you. What Jesus accomplished at the cross is far, far more than just a ticket to heaven when you die. Much more than that. And so I believe the Holy Spirit will lead us as we set ourselves to discover some of those. Yes. You won't discover them if you don't really look for them. You got to dig deep to find some. Hidden between the lines are some wonderful, glorious truths of what is yours. It's yours, but if you don't know about it, you can't do anything with it. You cannot believe what you don't know. And so I lament the fact that Christians are lazy Bible students. Yeah. I always lament that fact. We are called to be deep people.
Yeah. Amen.
Not flaky people, just living on the surface. We need to build our lives on the rock of this truth. Jesus said, if you do what I tell you to do, it will be like a man building his house on a rock. Yeah. And the winds come, and they will come.
Yeah.
And the rains will come. But because it's on a rock, it will be there for always. So now, here he comes to verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. A thorn in the flesh. Now, I want to suggest this morning that as I look over us here today, that everybody probably has a thorn in the flesh. Something that you struggle with. And that you've prayed about. That it will go away. And he even says here, a messenger of Satan. So where did the thorn come from God?
No.
No. Who was trying to distract him from those revelations?
The devil.
The devil. Says that thorn was a messenger from Satan. Now, may I suggest to you that what you struggle with was given to you as a distraction. Because somebody doesn't want you to focus on what you need to focus on. And he gave you something else to focus on. And now you are distracted and you are fighting this thing. And fighting this thing that's in your side, and fight against it, and fight against it, and fight against it, while you were really called to do something else. Distractions. And when I look at Paul, those distractions were some serious distractions. I mean, when they stone you and leave you for dead, that's not a small thing. But that could not distract him. Even that, this man was sold out to God. Nothing could stop him. Nothing could stop him. Now you would think, after going through all of this, that you'll be weak. And he even says, I'm weak. And yet you see him ministering powerfully, revealing these wonderful truths that we discover all through the New Testament. A messenger of Satan to buffet me or to beat me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. 3 times he prayed. Now, I know we probably prayed more than 3 times. Because we just won't give up. But maybe we are not looking in the right direction. Maybe we should understand that we're not called to comfort. Amen. Jesus never said you'll be comfortable. As a matter of fact, he did say,
right.
If you follow me, you'll be persecuted.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's the weakness of the Western church, the lack of persecution.
Yeah.
I've seen the church where it's persecuted. It's strong. I've seen those Christians. They're strong. They're strong. Now, this is what he went through. He says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Because if you don't draw on his strength, you're going to do it on your own. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. I will boast in my infirmities. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Well, he doesn't say that I will complain about my infirmities.
Yeah, really.
He says, I will boast. I will boast. So think about that a little bit. That thing that you've been struggling with, how often have you boasted about it? Do you know that it's a sin to complain? Do you know that the Israelites did not go into the promised land because they complained? They complained. They were complaining all the time. Complaining. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. For Christ's sake, when I am weak, I am strong. Now, when the Apostle Paul prayed three times for this thing to depart from him, in verse 8 he calls it this thing, to depart from him. What he actually hoped was to get a discount. You don't have to fight that anymore. Get a discount. Jesus says, no. You'll have to go through that. But I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will be there as you go through that. I will be there for you. So, going through all these things that happened to him and looking at our lives today and what we struggle with, there's a lot of things that we can use as excuses not to do what we're called to do, not to pursue our purpose. Because I have this problem or that problem, whatever it may be. I'm married to the wrong person. I have financial problems. I'm not healthy. Whatever. I'm not educated. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm this or all kinds of. Christians are the most creative people when it comes to excuses. And yet, actually, because of the grace of God, there's no such thing as an excuse. There's no such thing as an excuse. Because of the grace of God. Paul had something that bothered him, and the Lord said, I'm not taking that away. I'm not taking that away. And it was a messenger of Satan. It's not something that God put on him. The devil was working on the Apostle Paul's life, and Jesus said, I'm not going to intervene in that. How do you like that? But he had to discover what the grace is. Because when the grace begins to operate, nothing can stop you. The reason why nothing could stop the Apostle Paul was because this grace of God was working through him so powerfully. I always, when I read there in Timothy, where Paul wrote to Timothy, he said to him, be strong in the grace. It never made sense to me. It sounded like a contradiction. How can you be strong in grace? Be strong in the grace. It's because the grace of God will enable us to do when we cannot do. It will enable us to go through things that we cannot go through on our own. The grace of God will enable us to fulfill our call and our purpose. The grace of God. Because we cannot do what he called us to do in our own strength and our own wisdom. You have to lean on him. There's just too much. If you can do what he called you to do, it probably never came from him. You'll need God. You'll need God to do what he needs you to do. I don't believe God has given us something that is so small that we can accomplish that so easily and quickly and then just live for ourselves. I think it's going to take everything you have and every day that you live to accomplish that thing that God gave you to do. Yeah. Well, we have shortcomings, lots of shortcomings. But there's grace for the shortcomings. We have learned when we were in Bible school that the grace is an acronym that spells grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. And once you understand that there's grace for what you cannot do, then you won't say, well, I can't do that. I cannot do that. I'm not qualified. You cannot say that.
Amen.
You cannot say that. you can. Because you're not alone.
Amen.
You can do what you cannot do on your own. You can do it.
Amen. Yes.
Because of the grace of God. You can do it. For every distress, there's grace. For every persecution, there's grace.
Yes.
For every thorn in your side, there's grace.
Yes. Hallelujah.
But let's not focus on the thorn, because that's what the devil does. That's that messenger that keeps on coming. That messenger of Satan that keeps on coming. Say, well, you're struggling with this. You're not really qualified to do that. Because you have this in your life. Now, we don't, as some people think, as it was in the day of the Apostle Paul, people went around and preached all kinds of things. The grace of God is not a license to sin. It's enablement to fulfill your call. That's what the grace is. It will help you to do what God created you to do. And I don't know what you were called to do, and I don't know your purpose. You know that. But I do know that nobody was called to live a comfortable life. So don't make that part of your prayer life. You are able. You can do. You can do. I have found that. I still do. That the grace of God enables us. The grace of God strengthens us. The grace of God is there every step of the way. The grace of God is there when we are persecuted, when we are reproached. It's always there. The grace of God is there to give you answers when you don't have any answers. Or when people ask you tough questions, the grace of God will help you. And always, if you lean on Him, you will always have the right answer. You'll always know what to do the next thing. Just the grace of God. It's not that we are so smart. And I have all these qualifications. Look at all the qualifications. Some behind my name and some in front of my name. Means nothing. It means nothing. What really counts is the amount of grace that you are willing to draw on. Say, you know what, I really cannot do this. But by the grace of God, I will. And you will be surprised. You will be surprised what you can do if you don't allow distractions to take you somewhere else. You'll be surprised what you can do. I'll be honest with you. And I want to dare us today to make use of the grace that's available to you. Make use of that. And don't be shy. Don't be shy to make use of that grace that is freely available to you. You know, when where I grew up in rural South Africa, English was a foreign language. Nobody spoke English. We didn't bother to learn English because we found no use for it. We went to school, they taught us some English. It went nowhere. I only learned English in my adult years. But you know what? It's because God had plans. He enables you. He enables you to do what you cannot do on your own. When I told my father that I had a call in my life, the first thing he said is, but you never talk. You don't speak. How do you think you can minister if you don't speak? And I'm not a big talker. Except when I have the Bible in my hands. and I can talk because of the grace of God. And I can say it's not my qualifications. You can know that. Don't look at qualifications because you won't find anything. But what you see is the grace of God in action. And I am astounded. I'm amazed day by day when I see how the grace of God can use the little that I have to offer to touch people that I will never see. And all I can say is, the grace of God is much more than I can even understand. But the grace of God is not to give us a license to live a low quality life. No. It is enablement to live a high quality life. It's the grace of God that will make you holy. It's the grace of God that will enable you to do the impossible. It's the grace of God that will give you wisdom beyond your own means. So it's just the grace of God. Just the grace of God. Don't you think that God wants to use you to touch this world that we live in? That's where his heart is. And because that is where his heart is, he will give you whatever you need to do what he wants you to do. He will always be there for you. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 14. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. It's talking about Jesus now. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. That temptation that you have, he had. And more. Because at some point in that temptation, we may yield to it. But he took the full pressure of it and never sinned. He can sympathize with what you are going through. Jesus himself. Now let's read on. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm so glad it's not a throne of judgment.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, judgment day is coming, but right now it's grace.
Yes, amen.
Right now it's a throne of grace. It's not a throne of judgment. It's a throne of grace. It says, let us come boldly. Let us come boldly. Don't be shy. Don't be intimidated. Don't feel inferior. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We may find grace and mercy. Now, you know what grace is. Grace is to receive what you don't deserve. Mercy is not to receive what you do deserve.
Yes.
And we can find both. Can you see the power flowing from the throne of grace?
Amen.
That all those things that the devil accuses you of just fall away just as you enter the throne of grace. You can get mercy and you can get grace.
Yes.
And it says in a time when you need it.
Yeah.
Yes. You don't need grace when you do nothing. You don't need grace when you don't have problems. You need it in a time of need.
Amen.
That's when it's available. When you don't feel like it, that's when it's there. When you feel disqualified, that's when the grace kicks in. When you feel inadequate, that's when the grace kicks in. When you feel distracted, by a thorn in your side, if you draw on that grace, you will be able to look past that problem and accomplish your purpose. I think one of the greatest tragedies of any life is when people are born and they struggle and die. And they've never accomplished anything. What a tragedy. What a loss of talent and gift that God put inside of you and the world is waiting on. Yes, there are tough times. Don't you think that when you follow Christ, it's all going to be plain sailing? Don't you think that? The moment you sign up for Him, the devil signs up against you.
Yes.
And he's going to be there. You'll find him. There will always be something. But I think we should be a little smarter than to be distracted by a thorn in the side.
Right.
Look at ourselves and say, God put something inside of me and it has to come out. God put something inside of me that the world is waiting on.
Yes.
There's something inside of every one of us that is needed out there. But let's not be focused on our distractions and our problems and our shortcomings. Let's focus on what God called us to do. I'm so glad the Apostle Paul, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure, maybe if I'm thrown into what he was thrown into, I'll draw on the grace as he did. But in my own strength, I can see myself working through that and still focus on receiving revelation from God. I'll probably spend my life praying for the thorn to go away, like most people do, and forget about the purpose of the call. It's a high call that we were called with. It's a high call. And we cannot jeopardize that call because we have a little thorn in the side. There's something that we can do. And so, today, as you look at your own struggle, here's the good news. You're not alone. God is with you. That is why his name is called Emmanuel, God with us. God himself said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Jesus said, I will be with you till the end of the day, end of days. I will be with you right up to the end. I will never leave you. And don't think, when things get tough, that God has left you. Now it is just the time to draw on the grace of God and say, you know what, I have this thing, but I also have a call. I also have an assignment that I need to do. And that is what I will focus on. That is what I will focus on. And forget about the rest. The voice of God is stronger than the voice of that messenger that the devil has sent to beat you. Let the voice of God always be stronger. When I look at the church, and I look at the world that we're in, I realize it's time for us to draw on the grace of God. Big time. This world is falling apart. I don't know if you watch the news, but there's nothing to be happy about. It's getting darker by the day. And the world needs you to shine bright with hope and vision and strength to stand in the day of bad news and be the good news. We always say you cannot preach the good news and be the bad news. You got to be the good news. You got to be the good news. Even with a thorn in your side, you still got to be the good news.
Amen.
Yes, I have this problem, but. Yes, I am persecuted, but. Yes, I have this thing that I struggle with, but His grace is sufficient. It's enough. You know, as I was meditating on this, and I thought, well, I know God is the God of more than enough.
Right.
Except that it seems when it comes to grace, and it says it's sufficient. You get what you need.
Yes.
You will have what you need. If it's a lot, you'll have a lot. If it's a little, you get a little. You will get what you need.
Amen.
It will always be enough. I've read in my Bible that God will not allow us to be tempted above our strength. And I always felt, God, I don't know what you see, but if you see what I see, I don't think we measure with the same measurement. But I think there's grace that covers
the gap
there. It's the grace of God that brings it into his measurement. You can go through what you need to go through and come out the other side strong.
Amen.
Strong. And now we understand why the Apostle Paul said, we are earthen vessels. You look at me, there's nothing to see. But on the inside is the treasure. It's on the inside. You look at a person or somebody looks at you and they don't think much of you. You're just looking at the earthen vessel, the clay pot. But the treasure is on the inside where the grace of God is working. There's grace inside of you. That treasure. So that the glory will not go to the pot, but to the gift that's on the inside. And that's why Paul said, I cannot boast about these things. About what I accomplished. I cannot boast about that. I'll rather boast in my infirmities so that the glory will go to God. He's the one that provides the strength. He's the one that gives us the ability. He's the one. And while we stand, we look at the life of this man, the Apostle Paul, and we are inspired, and sometimes we stand in awe of this man. You've got to look past that. And say, it's all just the grace of God. It's just the grace of God that he could do that. He speaks of himself. He says, I'm not trained in speech. He says, I'm not eloquent. He says, and when I'm among people, they think, they say, his bodily presence is weak. But we are still struggling to fathom the depth of what God put inside of that man to write down for us this day. And when he says, here in, let me go back there, chapter 12, in verse 4, he said how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. I would love to know what he knew.
Yeah, right.
I would love to know what that man knew. So don't allow your struggles to separate you from that wonderful thing that God put inside of you. Don't allow your problems to become a distraction. I believe we are standing here at the threshold of something new.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We are standing here at the threshold of something that can be huge. We are standing here at the beginning of an era that can be wonderful and glorious. Yes, there will be distractions. There will be persecutions. There will be reproaches. There will be all kinds of things. All kinds of distractions, but there will be grace.
Yes.
And let's make use of it boldly. Let's say, God, we're going to do this thing. We are going to do this thing. I will not be distracted by what the devil throws in front of me. I will not be distracted. We are going to do this thing.
Amen.
We're not signing up here for something that's normal and small and average. Average never impressed anybody.
Right.
Normal never gets any attention. You got to go above that. You got to go above that. And that's where we're going, people.
Yes.
That is where we are going.
Yes.
And now all the excuses are gone.
Yes.
You come with an excuse to me, I can say it's time for grace. Boast about that excuse. Say, well, you know, I'm so glad I have this problem. Because now I can draw on the grace of God. I don't have to do this in my own strength. The grace of God will help me to do this thing. And we can do all that God called us to do. We can do it all. And we can do it with excellence. And we can do it with glory. And we can do it with gratitude. And we can do it with joy. It's a joy to serve Him. But now this morning, I believe that there are some things that Jesus will take care of. When I decided to follow Him in 1969, I had some things in my life that had to go.
Yeah.
Some things that had to go. And I found out that that moment, when I surrendered, it just went away. It was just gone. I didn't have to fight for that. It just wasn't part of my new life. It stayed behind in the old life. It just stayed there. If anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Old things are passed away. But I also found out not everything went. Some things I had to grow out of. And some things that I struggled with in my early days of following Him, I've grown out of. And then there are things that are given to beat you. It will probably stay with you. But it doesn't matter, whatever the case may be, you can still do what God called you to do.
Yes.
But now this morning, I just want us to close your eyes. Let's bow our heads. Nobody's looking around. I just want to speak to each one of us individually. I want to look inside yourself. First of all, if you have never made that decision to follow Him, then you can do it this morning. One of the good things is the moment you do that, all this grace we spoke about this morning becomes available to you. It will help you. It will see you through in a difficult day. You will always find, He's always with me, He's always with me. And if you've never made that decision, that's probably the easiest thing that you can do. All you need to say is, yes, I'll follow Him. That's all you need to do. I know He's the Lord, and I make Him Lord of my life, and I will follow Him. Wherever He leads me, I'll just go with Him, because I never want to fall behind Him. I'll follow Him. So if that's you this morning, and while every eye is closed, I just want you to quickly slip up your hand and say, I want to do that. I want to do that. That is not signing up for church or anything. That's just a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's all that is. That's all that is. Just slip up your hand and say, yes, I will do that. The other thing that I want to pray for this morning is if you are going through things and you know that And Jesus paid for this. I need to have it. Then I want to pray for you this morning. And all you need to do, just as a step of faith. Just as a step of faith, saying, I know we can do it. I want you to just quickly slip up your hand. It's just an act of faith. Yeah, I believe. Jesus can do it. Hands go up. I believe God's grace is available and is here this morning. And all you need to do is take hold of that. Whatever it may be. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and we don't come because of our own qualifications. We don't come because we're good. We come solely because Jesus died for our sins and opened the door to your heart. And we come to your throne of grace boldly this morning. And Father, you've seen the hands. And this is a day of need. This is a day where your people need help. And so we have come this morning to receive that help. We have come to receive that grace. We have come to receive that mercy. And we thank you this morning that you touch everyone with your goodness and with your grace. And we continue to knock at the door of every heart. Don't let us go. Don't let us go away. Don't let us turn our backs on you. Will you go after every one of us with your love, Lord, and bring us to yourself? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.